Good morning, folks, and I hope you're having a great week here. Today, me and Austin are going to be talking about Chia. We're going to be talking about price, and we're going to be talking about predictions, because we're going to run through scenarios and predictions based on stuff that we're seeing in the Chia ecosphere. And if you've got ideas about this, make sure you drop them in the comments below. Austin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. No complaints, really. It's just super hot over here. Just hooked up the AC, so you might be hearing that in the background. But yeah, so Chia price. Are you short-term and long-term bearish or bullish?
It depends on... So I was talking to my brother about this last night, and I was explaining why if you look at anything in crypto in a short-term, like, it's going to be hard. It's just going to always be hard. I was like, and so I asked him this question. I was like, okay, so suppose you throw in $10,000, what, and he doesn't know like the numbers behind it and stuff. I was like, what do you expect to be like your return on that on a daily payout? And he was like, I don't know, maybe like $100 to $150. But like, he didn't understand like that's totally like 10x off from where you're going to be. It's probably in the $10 to $11 at a $10,000 investment point.
And he was like, right?
Per day, yeah. And I told him that, and he was like, oh, okay, well, that actually kind of makes sense. And actually, that isn't that bad. And I was like, okay, so you see, like, there's a difference there. Like, you would have to invest $100,000 to be making $100 a day. Actually, if you look at, like, the whole scale effect of growing a farm, you can actually do it for way cheaper if you like have just one head end unit and a bunch of JBODs and all this other stuff. And if you are really geared towards efficiency, you can squeeze out extra percentages on top of that. Something this channel definitely is all about. But yeah, he didn't get that concept. And I was like, okay, so if you look back in history, like when I started crypto, like it was dumb. Just like I heard about it on the news. People were like, there's a digital currency called Bitcoin. I was like, oh, cool. I'm into tech. I'm going to do some of that. Like it was literally that stupid. And I mean, it didn't seem like anything at first, but I'll tell you what, in 2013, when I really like paid attention to it and it boomed back up for a really short period of time, I was like, oh, had I just consistently been doing this, then I would be, you know, filthy rich right now in 2013. And so I was like, okay, yeah, let's get into this. I started, you know, doing the Scrypt Mining subreddit. I was like the mod of that. And that was GPU based. And we were mainly hitting things like Dogecoin, Litecoin, making like 20 GPUs was making like 0.03 BTC a day. And I hadn't refined my thought processes on how to structure earnings and what to hold, when to sell, what not to sell. And so I was basically living mining lifestyle. So that's like, yeah, I'm just going to sell a portion of it every day to cover the cost of running the electricity was kind of what I was thinking. Again, short-term thinking. And if I look back at how much I sold for covering electricity at just ridiculous rates, I was like, wow. So when 2017, 2018 came around, I was like, I've got a better idea about what's happening now. Like, I can see that this is probably going to have some more problems this time around. It seems like it always runs into a cycle like this. The dependency on it seems like it is tied to the overall energy sphere. Every single time, this is very interesting. Energy usage of Bitcoin and of cryptocurrencies has come up as a major talking point. It is yet again. And there's never been like a viable alternative until Chia. And Chia really is like so low electricity that it's like you can run your Pibibyte farm and not even worry about it in the negative. Like most people could probably just be like, okay, well, that's just like whatever. So there's a factor of that that is capable that you can continue running even if you're just eating the cost that is not there with GPUs. It's definitely not there with ASICs.
Yeah.
So when I explained that to him, he was like, okay, so you're taking like a really long-term approach. And I'm like, well, you know, I think honestly it will probably be like a 2024 time period. And literally I'm just basing that on what Gene has said so many times in the AMAs. I don't know what kind of forecasting and modeling he's done that says 2024. But it does seem like there will be a downturn of, who knows, years. And is this the bottom of the downturn is a good question. And I think so much of that hinges on Tether and what happens with Tether. And that's probably going to be tied very closely to politically what happens towards stable coins in the United States.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I think that there's so many variables and so many factors. I think Tether is a big one. Another big one I think that I see is the XRP lawsuit. I think that that has implications across so many, like a majority, I would say, of cryptocurrencies.
If you've been following that, what's your take on the current status of that? Do you think that they're actually, do you think they have a chance of winning? I actually have gone from they have no chance to maybe they actually have a chance of winning.
Yeah, I don't consider myself an expert on the XRP lawsuit. I think that a lot of people are hopeful that that they will be successful. And so I can't speak to it. I think that it could go either way. But I think someone that's more versed in the crypto law surrounding what a security is and all this would be able to better answer that. But I mean, my heart is saying that most of these are securities. I don't know how XRP can get themselves out of that, other than just by lobbying or partnering with the government, right? So if they can, if XRP can say, hey, we're going to come out with this CBDC and it's going to run on the XRP, blockchain, then like that would be a huge win for XRP, right? So there's like a lot of things with that that, you know, I don't know the full story with it, but I think that it has big implications when that decision gets made, which who knows? I mean, that's been going on forever. Could probably go on for another forever, you know, like another year, 2 years.
I do think you're right. I think it's going to keep going. I think it was really interesting when Ripple was one of the parties that got to go to the like congressional hearing on cryptocurrencies. I was like, Ripple of all of them. Oh, okay, sure. That's interesting. I think that there is some things that it's just probably going to turn out to be a security, especially about Ripple. There's other things that I think, you know, CBDCs and where we see stable coins going, I think those could have huge implications as well. And certainly Chia has actually talked about, hey, we could be the backbone for some algorithm or not algorithmic, but some stable coin for certain entities out there. So, I mean, there is a scale factor of interest that I have in CBDC that I did not have before. And generally, I think that this is not a great idea for people to just essentially sign up for a cashless society where everything is 100% tracked. And I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have any patriotic thoughts that are like, damn it, I need my cash under my mattress? Like I personally fall into that myself. I'm like, I like to keep cash, you know, in my house. But I mean, I like to have like the fungibility of like cash. And I think that's cool. And I always saw crypto as like an adjacent to that, even though it's a blockchain. It's a viewable ledger out there. That's why I really think it's, you know, ZK and stuff like that are important to get integrated into almost every crypto out there. So it brings that privacy aspect out.
Yeah, my opinion on this is that I don't think that the CBDC will use Chia. The reason being is because it's too decentralized and the government doesn't have enough control over it. I think that they would probably use their own private permissioned blockchain that would be...
What if they forked Chia?
They could. They could, but then it wouldn't run on Chia, right? So I think that
If you fork
something...
Chia, it might not. You know what? If you fork it like the other forks forked it, you would have the security of the Chia network, but you could have your own incentivization and stuff like that behind it.
It would be interesting. It would be interesting, yeah. But I don't think that they're going to use Chia. I think that they need something that they can highly regulate, highly control, see everything that's going on, figure out how to create identifiers. So it's like there's a whole – we are a long way out, I think, from CBDCs, at least in the U.S.
I think DIDS and the progression of DIDS brings that closer.
I agree.
I like that Chia's stance on DIDS is opt-in, but I think that you'll see a lot of governments take opt-in and say you are in. And kind of like force that down the throat of people, which that's scary in my opinion, because that takes a lot of, you know, the capability of somebody to just have economic freedom. And I'm not saying that what people are doing with their economics are legal or illegal. That certainly happens in all, like people like to say crypto is, you know, all used for illegal stuff. Actually, vast majority not used for illegal stuff. If you look at like wire transfers and credit cards and bank transactions, those are still used more for illegal activities than anything related to crypto. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's that boogeyman effect, and that gives a lot of talking points that can be hyped up by the media out there. makes people afraid that don't know anything. And then I certainly my dad was in that category a long time ago. He's since come around, now a holder. But I mean, that was an evolution in his thought process that got him there, because he really just thought, you know, oh, this is just used for dark web stuff and that's it. Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really interesting. The longer and the more time that goes, I get more, okay, I need to take a step back. And it's interesting with, you know, in just kind of looking at the roadmap, for example, when we look at these things that are coming out, like, are those bullish or are those bearish, right? It's, for me, I see them as neither, which is interesting. And that's kind of a new approach that I've been starting to look at these things.
You see them as neither. You're going to have to explain that one to me.
So there's things called crab markets where they just go sideways. And that's what I see most of these roadmap items as. They're not going to make the price explode. They're not going to make the price go down. I mean, if we look at what the NFT
standard is. Oh, okay. So you're talking about just price.
I'm talking about just price. Yeah.
You know, and I think there's Chi is a subsidiary of the larger Bitcoin and crypto markets out there at this moment. It's so tied to those. It's pegged in large measure to those. There's finally ways that we can actually peg Chia to other things out there with Vayamos and the bridge that they're creating. But I mean, no matter what, we're in a crab market. The entire market, best case right now, crabs sideways. If it's bad, you know, the crab falls off of some abyss, and very unlikely that there's a short-term crab floating to the top. I think that there's just wider market effects that no matter what, these items aren't going to pose short-term like boom. But long term, some of these things, especially the developer tooling and the developer like SDK for the wallet, I think those long term have to be there for there to be that we can get back up and crawl back onto land kind of effect. So I think that is one of the important things is short term. Yeah, maybe none of these, but this is a long term roadmap that extends almost to Q2 of 2023.
Yeah.
And I think that is the horizon they're looking at for this is when we can emerge from, you know, the sea and get back on land as crab. You know, mega crab or whatever. So if you look at it in that framework, does that change your perspective? Because I think there's just wider things that no matter what, we're in a crab.
Yeah. So I do agree with you that in the broader market, like, you know, if we just kind of start with macro, it's like the S&P is what is going on, right? And then Bitcoin follows the S&P to a certain degree, and then altcoins follow Bitcoin to a certain degree, right? And the only difference is the beta associated with them. There's noise in between, but generally speaking, everything ends up following the macro landscape. And so I do agree with that. But I think that, like, you know, oftentimes when there's announcements, you know, some things will, like, the price will pump, right? And it goes crazy, right? But I just don't see that happening with Chia.
Well, the latest couple of announcements, price has not pumped. So I don't think that you're going to see like DID come out or Data Layer come out and see price pump. I don't think that's just that. I don't think that's going to happen, period. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. I think the market doesn't support that is one of the big ones. I think the market back when we saw kind of the, hey, there's, you know, a climate warehouse thing coming out. That was like November, I think, last year. Is that time frame from sound right? October?
Yeah, October, November.
Yeah. When we saw that kind of coming out, I think the market still supported that kind of like there will be a pump effect. But I don't think the market's going to support there's a pump effect on almost anything right now that is good news. However, if you look at things like the wallet SDK, this is critical for being able to develop applications that can allow people to, you know, do things that will bring more people into Chia, like DeFi applications. So having good DeFi security, having good bridge security, having good assets that can be pegged and other people can, you know, do things like DeFi lending based on your staked XCH that you're putting into, I don't know, what an XCH protocol or some pool of lending, that right there could probably create a big effect. So I would disagree because I think the wallet SDK is definitely one of the things on the roadmap that long term, even short term, like they've got this at Q4 and it's like up there, the wallet SDK version 1. I think if they can release that in that time frame, we'll see developers actually putting things out in 2023 using the wallet SDK. And I think that moves price up because who knows what they develop, but those things that they develop could just be like, stake your XCH and earn blah, blah, blah. And like at that point, people will be like, oh, I need to buy some XCH to go stake my XCH. So that's where I see some of the, I don't actually envision myself cashing out any XCH, but I do see myself staking it in the future if I can find a good, you know, yield return or something like that through some sort of a DeFi application.
Yeah, so that definitely makes sense. I think the one thing that I would say would make me feel a little contrary to that is the amount of time it takes for things to get developed, right? I think that when I look at the Chia ecosystem as a whole, it's like the NFT standard comes out at the beginning of July, right? I think that's when it kind of came out, right?
Oh, let's talk NFTs also.
We are, yeah. We will for sure get there because I have some thoughts on that. But yeah, so like that came out in like the beginning of July and we're now in the beginning of September and it's like, okay, so, you know, what's being built, right? There's still not a whole bunch of ecosystem surrounding NFTs. Now, there are things that are amazing, like Farmer's Market. We have, you know, Dexy doing stuff, Nifter and Mint Garden, they're still kind of working on finalizing their products, right?
Nifter's taking a long time, right?
I'm like,
when Nifter?
But I think that they're putting in the work that they need to do. I'm very optimistic and I have no problem being patient with any of the platforms that come out.
Patience. It's a virtue.
Yes. But that's my point though, is that like, okay, so a primitive comes out. Okay, so how long does it take to actually develop a working product that actually affects how people utilize Chia? Right? I think it takes a while.
Primitive is so different, though. Like, each one is a different cat. But I think each one has different implications. Like, DID. If DID comes out and they have adhered to W3C standards, like, people that are developing product identity-based Web2 stuff could just be like, okay, and I'm plugging it into Chia. And like, it just literally is interoperable. Like that's the power of adhering to a W3C type standard, is that there are already a lot of developers out there in that ecosphere developing products. I think there could be unseen effects about that, but that is completely different than if you look at a primitive for like,
NFT.
NFT. Like, I really wish we had seen something wildly different other than art at this point.
I don't see.
And this is a challenge to the community. Get out there and develop something that is not art based for an NFT project. No art whatsoever. Just do it. Do it. Like, Chia NFTs can put you there. Can you do it? That's a good question.
But that's my point, though, is that it's going to take a while, right? It's like, you know, the Ethereum has been around for however long it's been around for, and you see the ecosystem and the applications built on top of it. That takes time. Right.
But let's talk about the size of the community, though. Like, that, I think, is a big underlying thing. Like, Chia's size of community is small. We're like micro community. We've got a couple fanboys. And that's maybe a handful of developers. I can think of, like, the people I can think of that are developers. I'm like, okay, so we've got like 20 maybe developers out there doing things. Like, that's not a lot. And if you look at like Ethereum, they've got probably thousands and thousands and thousands of developers. I'm not sure if it's 10,000, but they definitely have in the thousands of developers in that ecosystem out there. So I think there's a, we are small effect. This is one of the things that I would love to see Chia, like, they've brought on a director who has a huge marketing background. I'd love to see, like, how are they going to effectively message these new tools out there to attract new developer talent? Like, is that going to happen? That's something that I hope does happen, because I think that is critical to long-term success, is bringing in more developers. And we're just so small right now. Like, and that's kind of the catch-22, is how do you stop being small crab and become giant crab, right?
Yeah, but I think that speaks though to my point, which is that they release a standard, you know, even though it might be an SDK, there's only a small handful of like developers that are actually building in the space. They're already working on things currently that are of the things that already have come out yet. And so a whole bunch of stuff has to happen, right? There has to be more developers that come into the ecosystem that understand Chia and know how to build on top of it. The standards then have to be released, and then they have to actually build out whatever their product is, right? So the custody solutions might come out, and it's going to take 6 months for someone to like really have an incredible third-party product that people are going to use.
For custody, I could see that actually being, you know,
That
one's a complex one.
But if you're talking about the SDK,
it might be significantly faster. If you look at Data Layer, I think people will see that there's a power to using Data Layer relatively quickly, and I think that they will kind of jump onto it. And I think that that adds a element of we've never seen it before, and that could have a wild card effect. So that's why Data Layer has always been very exciting to me, is because you just don't see that out there in crypto. And like this is a different capability set.
Yeah, it's like a completely new, it feels like a new use case, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like a new primitive for use cases. It's like, here, you can bring a ton of use cases and pile them onto this bad boy. So that's why I think, you know, it's hard to predict what the wider ecosphere will do out there. And there's people that are vocal about what they're building, and then there's people that just roll out and they're like, hey, here's this. So, I mean, there could be some stealth people out there building. I kind of don't feel like there's a ton of that because we haven't seen a ton. Can you think of anything that's been launched stealth mode that's just like, boom, here it is?
Dexy. Dexy felt like...
Okay, Dexy.
Dexy was, and I mean, like, at least I didn't hear too much about it, but like prior to it launching, say Dexy, maybe Pocket App. They're just like here's the Pocket wallet.
I've been talking about Pocket for months and months.
Even prior to them releasing an actual product, though.
It was like, so Hema clued me into Chiabee. I looked at their stuff and it was not actually related. And then I somehow got over to Pocket App. I like found some hyperlink or something and I was like, oh, interesting.
Okay. And so I thought, like, it was released by then. Okay. Okay.
But it might have been released by then, but I don't think it was like promoted or anything until recently. Like it seems like they haven't really said, hey, here, there's a Pocket App out here, until the past couple of months. And I think I saw that thing like at the beginning of the year or something like that, it feels like. Whenever Twitter Spaces were actually pretty big for Chia was when I actually saw that, when they were like at their peak of, you know, things happening. The Chia Twitter Sphere. We should talk about that also. We'll put that on the roadmap to talk about also. So let's do some price prediction here. You want to, like, what lines do you want to draw? Do you want to look at, like, short-term and then long-term? Like, we'll look at, like, the next couple quarters and then we'll look at the next couple of years. How about that?
So, yeah, okay, so I'm pretty, essentially, how I feel about the price of Chia is that until there's more liquidity in the ecosphere, we're not going to see the price do anything.
Probably, now, explain to down. People here that might not understand your concept of what liquidity is, because some people might just be like, that means more Chia farm. Like, standardize that for people here.
Basically, exchange listings. I think that no matter what Chia is going to do, like the products that they release, the amount of time that it takes developers to build on top of it to bring more adoption, like all of that feels like not like a moot point, but it doesn't matter as much as giving people the ability to get their hands on Chia that don't want to farm. I think that if you know, and you can buy Chia and, you know, 10 minutes, right? But like you have to have another cryptocurrency and transfer it and do all this and that, right? But without, you know, Coinbase, Binance, FTX.
You can use CoinEx at my affiliate link below, folks. You knew that was coming.
Yes. I did. And yeah.
And you can actually buy with fiat, but it has to be a different crypto, and then you have to transfer it to, but you can do it all on that same exchange. So you can do that. And it is not 10 minutes. Actually, it's significantly faster. I was really impressed with the speed of CoinEx. However, they're a small exchange. And you're right. Coinbase is where everybody's at. So, got to be there.
Pretty much. I wouldn't even give it a timeline because I don't know when exchange listings are going to happen. But when that does happen, it opens the door for so much more price action and price discovery, because I just don't think that we're there yet, which is okay.
You know, now, do you think that good or do you think that bad? Let me ask you that price discovery.
I think it's okay. Because I think that it's going to give Chia time to build out their product, right? You know, it's still not Ethereum. Like, the usability of Chia is not necessarily there as Ethereum is there. And, you know, I think that, you know, once they have all of these products that are on their roadmap out, you know, it'll give so much more... just ability for it to find price discovery, because, you know, the once they have like a actual, like all their products are out, you know, they're really just kind of focusing on onboarding as a business. Chia is just focusing on onboarding corporate clients and supporting them rather than trying to build out products, because that's what they're trying to do right now. Like they're what it feels like is their main focus is ensuring that their blockchain is highly usable and scalable. And so when they start doing that and like catering to corporate clients, when people have the ability to speculate more on the price and there's, it's easier to get your hands on, like, you know, I don't see Chia stopping, you know, I think that it'll be kind of insane when that happens. And now 2-3 years from now,
you think 2 to 3 years to get a Coinbase listing from now?
No, I think 2 to 3 years for there to be an exchange listing for they should probably be IPO or public at that time. And their product, their blockchain as a product will also be.
Wait. You're dropping all these bombs at once here. So you think they need to be IPO'd first before Coinbase listing?
No, I don't. I don't think that they need to be. I think that those boxes will probably be checked in that period of time, right? And so, you know, I don't.
Which one gets checked first?
Definitely.
This is all wild speculation. None of this is financial advice. Correct. And literally, we are crystal balling for your amusement, folks.
Yeah, I mean, the first one, their blockchain won't be fully productized. Like the roadmap won't be complete first. I would say maybe exchange listing first.
Maybe. That's what it feels like to me. I mean, I think that we'll see exchange listing. God, I really hope by the end of this year
we see at least one of the big four.
One. And I don't know why. So it's a little bit, I understand Coinbase not listing them. It's a little bit more mysterious Binance not listing them, because that one, they're usually like, we're going to try to beat out the competition by listing things that will be listed by them as soon as we can. So Binance typically has that kind of profile. It just seems like they are flat out like, meh, don't care about Chia not doing that. That one is interesting to me. Kraken, I don't know. They seem like they're a laggard in the big sphere. So I wouldn't expect that until after Coinbase. But I think Coinbase is, of course, that big target that we're trying to hit for acceptance. I really would love to see Coinbase happen this year.
Yeah, I think that that's true. And I think that that all of them aren't listing mainly because Chia is not paying, which I'm okay with.
And I don't think that's it.
Really?
No.
Why?
I think it's the hardware wallet support.
Interesting. Okay.
But I mean, okay, so Ethereum is moving to BLS signatures and BLS. So they'll be like BLS hardware wallet and Chia need that. And so like piggyback, right?
Okay, so it's interesting with Binance. They have their own smart contract chain.
Well, and this is what I'm saying with Binance. Binance doesn't seem like they are like, we're going to move slow. They're like, we're going to move really fast. And yeah, there's interoperability. I just talked to somebody a month ago and they were like, I did something. I sent some Tether from Binance to Coinbase. I was like, so you lost it? He was like, yeah, I lost it. I was like, you can't get it back. It's gone, dude. Like, I don't know what to say. He was like, are you sure? Because I talked to the customer service. I was like, yeah, they told you you couldn't get it back, right? I was like, did you see the website page that they have about that? Don't do it because it's like irretrievable. Yeah.
That's sad.
It is. But I mean, they do have their own chain, essentially. They have a lot of stuff built on top of it. So that's why putting Chia onto it doesn't seem like it would be that difficult. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm hoping for Coinbase. I think that's
the big one.
That's the big one, like in my opinion. It's just
we do a lot of harassing on Twitter of Binance. Maybe we should be harassing Coinbase more.
I don't think it'll help either.
I know
that sounds horrible, but
you were instrumental in getting the community kind of galvanized towards providing 4-star or 5-star ratings for Chia as.
Yeah, I was the first person. So I was looking at Coinbase because that's like mainly where I look at the price of Chia. And I'm like, wait, I can leave a review. And I put a review and I didn't see it there. And so I waited a couple days and then I'm like, okay, like the review system works. Like we need to all get reviews on Coinbase right now. And so now I think we have like almost 300 reviews. I think maybe like 270 or so. But yeah, it's been really cool to see people reviewing. It has a lot, like that's a lot of reviews.
That is.
I think comparatively to some of the other coins, of course, like Bitcoin and Ethereum and Some of the other top tens will be a lot, but like for it being where it's at in market cap size, it has a lot of reviews. So we'll see. I don't. That has a big impact.
I really do think it's the tech. Chia has said it's the tech, so that's why I also think it's the tech. Like, I don't think they're going to be like, let's run our full node at Coinbase. And
yeah,
I just don't think they would do that. I think they're waiting for hardware support that is, and I mean, there's a certain, hey, we can't have a, you know, fork after that period of time because hardware wallets are not cheap. And so I think that, you know, when it comes to whether or not Chia will pay, I'm not sure that it's unreasonable for a, you know, third party to ask for integration funding, essentially, because that's not free on their end. So yeah, there's certain things that I'm sure happen behind the scenes when you have an exchange, a major exchange listing. Like, they need liquidity. So where are they going to get it? Are they just going to go to the open market and buy up what they anticipate? Like, I don't know if that doesn't seem like the way that they will do it, especially with Chia and the pre-farm that they have. I would imagine that they are probably asking for some sort of a window to the pre-farm so that price does not get actually manipulated artificially by buying it on the open market in anticipation of a launch. That is a fair system. I'm not going to say that I am hoping that's the system, but I'm sure there's a lot of things like that that are behind the scenes. Those are some questions I'd love to hear Chia talk about a little bit more. Yeah. I think they would be crazy to, though, also. I don't expect them to, because who's going to talk about like the future partner you need when, yeah, they'll never be like, oh yeah, this is exactly what's going on with Coinbase. It's hopium right there. So you didn't give us a price. So let me bring that back to, where's your price prediction? Short term, let's talk about end of this year. Where do you think it's at?
It's under 100 by the end of this year. I'm sorry.
Now you got to give me a number.
$99.
You think it's going to be at $99? So you think that she is going to essentially 3x by the end of the year?
I think that it's going to be...
I did not anticipate that being your price prediction, by the way.
I just wanted to stay under $100. Like, honestly, I just think that...
No. You got to. So let's give you a target and a $5 kind of fiat wiggle room around that. So where do you think it's at in that? I'm going to peg my guess.
It's just really hard. I'd say maybe.
Do you want me to go first?
Go first.
Okay. I think by end of year, we're going to see Chia at about $45. And if you plus or minus $5 on that, that's like $40 on the bottom side, and we're essentially right around $40. So I feel like that's safe to say right now.
You know, yeah, I would agree with you. That's lazy.
Yeah, but I made it too. Hold on. For you. Now you just piggybacked. You went from 99 to like 45.
I mean, this is why we're not financial advisors, right?
This is not financial advice, folks. I do have a crystal ball. My crystal ball has served me very poorly in the past when I've relied on it for critical decisions. So this thing I shouldn't even have anymore. This thing is just wrong 99% of the time.
You know, I'll give it $50. That's what I'll say. By the end of the year, I'll go to $50. Although I could be very wrong. It could be lower than it is right now.
But if you notice, this is not technical analysis, folks, because that's also crystal balling. Like, those people have no idea. They just like pull out some charts and they're like, oh, we're going to hit the bottom of this T shape and that's going to be it. Like, it's really fun to watch those. But at the same time, please be very careful if you're making financial decisions based upon those videos, because those are like, whoa.
Yeah, we're just having fun speculating, you know, and I think, though, that it still stands for me that until there's an exchange listing, there's not going to be much that's going on. Chia might ship a whole bunch of stuff. It's going to take a really long time to develop on it to have any real impact on price, in my opinion, no matter what the product is, actually.
So I think we both just said in a roundabout way that we don't think exchange listings are happening this year. Is that?
Yeah, I would say that's fair to say.
We did just say that, didn't we?
We could be wrong.
We could
speculating totally. And having fun, but
we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. Yeah. So, okay, let's talk about 2023. Which, geez, man, 2022 went fast. Did you accumulate as much XCH in 2022 as you had hoped to? Let me ask you that first.
I would say I might have spent it on NFTs. but
did
just
you earn
raw.
It back?
What?
Did you earn it back?
No.
Oh no.
But I do have some Chia friends that I really like.
Good.
I would say that I'm only down by the Golden Boy that I have is my PFP. So that's all.
It's not that bad. That's a really good PFP, by the way.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite. When I saw it hit the market, I was like, I need to figure out how to get this. And so I started bidding. And yeah, long story short, I love that guy. He's probably my forever Chia friend. That's what I'm going to say.
So let's talk real quick. What do you think about Chia NFT prices? I've noticed they've trended downwards in big, not, you know, the Chia Friends projects trended down. It seems like most of the projects, the resale aftermarket has trended down consistently in the past month or two here.
Yeah, there's just no volume.
The hype's over. It feels like the hype's over, right? Like,
it does feel that way. Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the actual just count number of volume, a new project might come out onto the scene, but it's like not even close to selling out. And, you know, I think that that's the mark of a successful project is it selling out. And then there's
literally
a
healthy... that is the one thing that you really have to do is sell out at NFTs. And I know Jack all about NFTs, but that was like the first thing you told me was you got to sell out your NFT projects. And I've looked all over the place doing my own research on NFTs. And that is a critical thing you got to do.
It is. And, you know, I like, it's no surprise though that the NFT resale market has gone down because that's what most NFTs do. Most NFTs, if you buy it, you should not expect to get your money back on it unless it's, of course, a blue chip. And, you know, the price on, like, and the volume on those are good, but, you know, Chia doesn't have any blue chips yet. And Chia Friends is,
I believe somebody brought Moonbirds over and charged money for them. Does that count?
No. No. They didn't steal it because it's CCO or CC0 or whatever it is, but yeah, no, that doesn't count. But the next big NFT project is going to be more than just a PFP project, period. Like, there has to be something more behind it. There has to be there just has to be more.
Story.
Yeah, more than a story, though, too.
I think there's got to be, I think if you can do really captive storytelling and grow, because it seems like that you really need to continue having more projects launch if you are an NFT artist. This is one of the things that I saw kind of come out of, like, you see a project launch, you're like, I'm excited about that. And like, then it just kind of fizzles. And it's like, where's the tie into the next project? The story behind it. And this is why, again, branching out into divergent media types that are not just JPEGs has got to happen. I mean, if you look at that, I think that's a pretty big factor. And I think you do cross over into where is the line between creative arts that are easy to produce and actual products that take time. And I think that taking time in this market at this point in time makes sense, because if you launch a product that has good potential and you sell it at a reasonable price and you size it to the actual market, there's not 10,000 Chia NFT buyers. There's not 1,000 Chia NFT buyers. There's a couple of hundred Chia NFT buyers is my estimation currently.
At most.
And I think we know most of those people also.
Yeah. We're probably trading, like, not against each other. I mean, maybe if you're trying to, like, you know, do some PvP. But, I mean, yeah, we're buying and selling with people that we know, like, more than likely. And I always want to know, like, okay, so I just bought this or I just sold this. Who bought it or sold it, you know, right? Like, I would love that. So I can't wait till, like, the DID becomes the DID 1 or 2.
Is that the? I don't know if there's going to be a 2. I think they're just phrasing it as DID. Because, okay, I mean, so it should just adhere to the standard that is the DID standard.
Yeah, like, and it's building on top of it, right? So there's more functionality behind DID soon, right? That's my understanding of it.
I think the functionality and the standardization and the documentation will be, like, the presentation of DID. So this is why I don't necessarily think DID for a, like, immediate thing is, like, oh my gosh, like, on launch day. But the ability of other products to plug into DID is something that'll be real. And DID-based products for Web 2 already exist. DID-based products for Web 3, I'm not sure about, but I'm going to guess that they do. Paul Hainsworth was just talking recently on Twitter about this with somebody, and he got some interest from people that were wallet devs in crypto. And one of the people that commented, I checked back on their stuff. They didn't look like they did crypto stuff at all. So I thought that was pretty interesting also. I was like, oh, so people outside of the crypto sphere are also interested in DID. Yeah, because, you know, it's got wider implications out there. I don't know. I'm excited for farmers markets implementation of their, like, this is your display drawer. I like the ability to share that and make it public and be like, these are my featured ones. I don't want to share everything. That's the other thing. Like, I don't want to share it all. I want to like put together my collection of my best and like put that on showcase and be like, this is my showcase of them.
Yeah. I can't wait for that too. It'll be interesting to see how John, kind of like chooses to have it be a gallery. So that'll be interesting. I'm excited.
That guy's, the amount of work he does for this is insane, right?
Between Chia Links and Farmer's Market, it's like...
Chia Links has got the best FAQ out there, folks. Also, if you have some question, you're like, what about blank? You should try that, because there's, like, seriously a very good chance that Chia Links has documented that in their FAQ section, which seems to be an evolving document. And it's also just a great primer for, like, I'm new. Like, most people that are like, I'm new, I'm like, hey, you should check this out after you read, you know, the Chia docs on getting started with Chia, because this is going to answer those questions for the most part. So when you're talking about 2023, let's do it. I gave the price first, so this time you go first. 2023, shoot me your price, man. Let's assume that listings have happened.
Okay, assuming listings have happened.
We're going to assume listings have happened.
500.
500? Can you pass over whatever that is that you got over there? Because I need to take a pull on that. That sounds like it's good stuff, man. I hope it's 500. So I would say that I think post-exchange listings that we see Chia in the 200 to 300 sphere, I think that's reasonable. And I think that is what the crypto markets in general would expect. I think there will be a slow climb upward from that as we see additional DeFi products launch that bring the desirability of buying XCH onto it. And I think that we'll see, hopefully by the end of 2023, us coming closer to that $500 mark. If we hit 400 by the end of 2023, I would be like ecstatic, to be honest with you.
Yeah, same. And I would say that, okay, so I think it's important also to say, okay, what's the bull and bear case, right? So like bear case, it's at like 200 for me by the end of 2023. Bull case, 500. So
wow, I'm significantly more pessimistic than you. This is interesting. So bear case for me, it's at about $40 by the end of 2023. That's assuming that they do not get listings, because I also suspect there is politics behind a lot of things that happen in crypto, and I think Ethereum controls a lot of weight. And I don't know, I'm not saying, I have no idea. Could all just be speculation. Probably just all speculation. But I think that Ethereum has a lot of input into a lot of things that I do not necessarily believe that they should. And I think being the largest centralized organization, even though they're a decentralized blockchain, and then moving to proof of stake and all of the things that are going to come along with that will increase to that mindset of we're the controlling entity in crypto. And I think that they'll have regulators even approaching them, asking for that. You are the controlling entity in crypto. We need you to shut off all these types of transactions, for instance. And they will be able to do that effectively, folks. So you can have your centralized shit blockchain over there on Ethereum when they go proof of stake. That is just my take on it. Or you can be on an L1 that's truly decentralized and not moving in that direction and will not be able to move in that direction because they don't ever have plans for going proof of stake. This is what I don't think people realize is literally Ethereum's been talking about this for fucking ever. They've just failed to do it. They've just failed to do it up until now. But they have been trying to do this stupid idea for a very long time. Their developer talent, the tech behind it was not there. There's a variety of things that probably were actually happening behind the scenes that made it not something that they wanted to do. But this time, they don't seem to mind launching this product in a bear. Every single time that they were going to launch it in the past, bear. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes on that we don't see in crypto. And that is happening at big levels. So, it could be the bear $40 Chia. I could still see it there at the end of 2023. I could also, on the flip side of it, see it going a little bit higher, maybe to 750 or something like that, if there is a couple of really good products out there that people want to get into that are adjacent to Chia and that Chia can get them into as far as DeFi. I think that could
and
be
the macro is good.
I don't know if 2023's macro is going to be good.
I would agree.
Such a bear. Like, I'm like, I don't know if the entire economy's macro is going to be good in 2023. It could be poop all around.
But if it's good, then I don't see it being a problem. But it's not going to be good. But yeah, I think that you raised some really good points. You know, I'm going to keep my numbers. I'm just going to be the optimist here and speculate for fun because I like saying what if to, okay, well, I have this much Chia and you know, number go up, right?
So have you produced as much chia as you were hoping for this year?
Yeah, I would say that I probably produced more because Netspace went down. And that was really nice. So, but like prior to Netspace being where it's at now, at like maybe 28 to 30 exabytes, you know, I was doing less than one XCH.
People were pretty upset. So I know farmer sentiment. I might not know a lot of other sentiments, but I do know farmer sentiment. When the Netspace was high and it stayed there, there was a lot of concern in people that was like, I don't think this is viable at all. And that concern, I'm sure, is actually, I mean, I get emails from people all the time. Some of them I respond to. A lot of them are farmers. Many of them were disgruntled. A significant amount of them were trying to sell me their incredibly overpriced farms, which I was like, what? No. When have I ever been like, let's buy overpriced hardware? Never. But yeah, it's interesting. Like that sentiment that surrounded that, a couple of months later did lead to Netspace falling, as people even expressed to me in emails, hey, I'm shutting off my farm. Do you want to buy it? And stuff like that. So
Yeah. I mean, I'm making 25% more XCH. And, you know,
Not small.
No, it's not. It's a lot. And that's kind of what Netspace went down by, right? And so,
does it feel rational to you where you're at right now? I think there's a rationality to Chia that we don't necessarily see on the mining or farming side in a lot of other cryptos. And I think that that is because a lot of people understand the value proposition of Chia. I think it actually a lot of people are very well educated in the Chia ecosphere about what Chia is. And I think that adds a lot of value to the existing user base of Chia. Growing that user base hard. Talking to each other in safe spaces is not how we grow that user base, folks. Mm-hmm. Talk to other people outside of your user spaces, outside of your comfort zones. Be challenged.
Chill.
Challenge them. Chill. Go chill. Go out there and chill. Yeah. But I mean, I think that when you look at where we're at and where we're going, I am wildly optimistic that we've got a very well-educated user base at this point in time in Chia who understands the fundamentals behind it. I also think that we got rid of most of the people that were 40 terabyte, you know, disappointed farms. And like there was a ton of 40 terabyte disappointed farms. And those people were the most vocal proponents as Netspace did not fall of just like misery. And they were all over Reddit. I noticed that the number of those posts has gone down significantly. Mm. So I attribute that to kind of the sentiment and the feelings in the community not being so negative anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm actually back on Reddit, like on the Archia subreddit, like commenting here and there, talking about things. Like it's not the place that it was when Netspace was 30 exabytes or 28 exabytes and people were like sitting on their 40 terabyte farm. Like, I'm not making anything. My ROI is 5 years.
Win Lambo.
Like, When the hell is my Lambo coming? I bought 4 drives here, and it was supposed to show up like last month. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. You know, I think that the one bummer though has been that you know, as like I feel like my XCH balance is growing, but when you look at the USD value, even though the XCH balance is growing, it feels like it's staying the same, a little bit higher, right? Because the price is dropping fast, or like almost at the same rate as I'm increasing my XCH, which I think is interesting.
You know, if you look at the 3-month perspective window on it, back in June, we were in the 44-ish range. So, I mean, before that, we were actually lower.
Yeah, we were. We were at 30.
We were down in the high 20s, actually.
We were.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting when you look at it from that perspective and you do like an overlay with where the BTC peg is. And it's, I think that Chia has performed pretty well because I think that we could see a decoupling. I don't think we will see a true decoupling until we get listings. And I think that that isn't going to happen until by, you know, Coinbase. I think that once we see that, we can see a very large shift in the kind of sentiment that's out there. I think price follows. I honestly think that Netspace has exhibited rationality coming down to where it's at. I think, you know, 40-ish or 35-ish, 45-ish, that is a place where it makes sense. Now, I think there is an impending energy crisis that will, this is a kind of outside of what's happening just directly with Chia or adjacent to Chia, but the energy crisis that is happening in Europe is definitely going to impact the Netspace size as people are like, I'm not going to run my farm. I think the last time that I did analysis on that, it was like 74 cents, 75 cents, something a lot around there where you're break even. And there's so many places that are now 74 or 75 cents per kilowatt hour. That is,
that's
a lot of electricity.
Yeah, that's crazy. That makes my bill look like nothing.
And so how are you doing? You're in California. How many blackouts have you had?
Zero.
Zero? That's great.
So I have blown my breaker once.
That's on you and your chia farm there, I believe, right?
That's on me and my chia farm, and my wife was running the AC, and then I started to pull up a game, and all of a sudden, all the outlets upstairs went out.
Boom.
But yeah. It was actually a good thing, because one of my drives actually wasn't really picking up. Like, it wasn't like being recognized, and because the power shut off and it hard reset everything, I'm like, oh, I have an extra drive now.
Well, that's not the way that... I'm glad that you had a happy outcome there. By the way, it could have gone the other way.
Awesome. I know it could have. I still need a UPC, or that's what it's called, right?
UPS.
UPS, yeah. So. Yeah.
You do. You definitely do.
We've been talking about that for a while. So
it's a lot of USB hard drives to just be hanging out there on wall plug. I mean, that's my take on it. Is they're danger. They're danger.
You're right.
Yeah. All right, everybody. So this has been a lot of fun. Anything else you want to drop in here, Austin?
No, I think that I'm good. This is just a fun little chat, just speculating on what's going on. A bit of a slow week on the chia front, but you know, it's always fun to bring it back to the.
It was like a fire hose the past 2 weeks prior. I was
It was. It was.
Literally, I was like swamped. I was like, I can't.
We need a bit of a break, right?
I was like stressed. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't even do other things. I've got to release so many videos. Mm-hmm. But like now I feel like, yeah, I can cadence the videos out and there's not like breaking news. Although the end of this quarter is coming up.
I know. And there's a lot of stuff on the roadmap still, right?
But I'm just like, what kind of flood is this going to be? Is this biblical flood? I don't know. I think it's going to be data layer did. I think those two things are going to be like, boom. And so I'll probably have several videos surrounding those. I don't know if they're going to have any like launch partners at the time. Sometimes they do roll out with launch partners. It would be weird, possibly, but it would also be really awesome and super bullish, in my opinion, short-term bullish, if they did roll out with a big third-party partner for one of those two things that we don't know about yet. And Chia, very good at keeping things under their hat. So that surprise could totally be in the works.
We'll see. Fingers crossed.
All right, everybody, you can make sure to hit me up at Go Spaceport on the Twitter's website, digitalspaceport.com. Go to my TikTok.
Yes. Your TikTok has been popping off. Say it again. Say the name again so that people can go there.
It's at Digital Spaceport.
Love it. Yeah, and then on Twitter, you can find me a Bronze Swag. So there you go.
All right, everybody, we will see you next time. And also, don't forget, if you are interested in membership and discounts on things like hard drives, you can sign up for that membership at the link below, and that'll get you either a 3% or a 5% discount. Whoa. And that is at $1.99 membership, I'm giving 3% off unlimited. Like, that's insane. I think that is fairly... That's decent. I'm trying to incentivize.
That's super decent.
That's super decent. All right, everybody. And that's shop.digitalspaceport.com if you just want to go and browse and see what kind of stuff I got there. And we will check you guys out next time.